Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Robots are everywhere, from machines working in factories to cultural icons like the Star Wars droids BB-8, R2-D2 and C-3PO. But this is nothing new. Humans have been creating robots for centuries, and a new exhibition at the Science Museum in London will be showcasing our love of these metal Mickeys, although sadly we'll have to wait until next year for it to open. I went along to get a sneak preview of one of the shining metal stars of the show, and also to talk to the exhibition's human curator, Ben Russell.
So the robot we're standing in front of is Saigan, who's a 2.4 metre tall epic robot built in 1957 by a guy called Dr. Fiorentino. He's based in Italy. He was an aero modeller, and what he just fancied a different project, and so he built a robot, a humanoid robot, weighs almost half a ton.
He's got these kind of headlight eyes and a green Mohican on top of his head.
Yes, yes, and his chest covered with flashing lights, and he walks and he lifts his arms, just like he's doing now. He can crush tin cans in one hand. He's quite a geezer.
Looking at Saigan, it's just hugely impressive. There's something wonderful about it, but humans have been fascinated with robots for years. How long does our fascination go back?
We've always been interested in lifelike machines, and that is part of our sort of natural human instinct to anthropomorphise. Why would you build a machine that's human-like? Because the human body is very inefficient for so many jobs. What we realised in the research for the show is that, you know, we're very used to seeing humans as paintings and sculpture and that sort of thing. You go to the V&A and it's full of humans. And what I said was, actually, we rebuild ourselves as machines using mechanism as well. No one had really done an exhibition which sort of looked at that motivation for making things. You know, why do we keep building ourselves as machines, and what does that say about us?
What sort of things will we be able to see when it finally opens next year?
The exhibition is filled with enormous numbers of robots. I couldn't squeeze any more robots in if I tried. I'm still trying now. So it'll take a very long view of robots, 500 years of robots, starting off with the very earliest sort of automata. Now, where you tend to find robots says much about the prevailing social mores of the time. So you tend to find the earliest robots in churches, those sorts of places, mechanical monks that prayed for your immortal soul, that sort of thing. 19th century, you tend to find robots in factories, Industrial Revolution, of course. Come up to the 1950s, robots are celebrities, just like Saigan here. It reflects the sort of cinema, our fascination with cinema, theatre, the show, that sort of thing. And then today, robots are starting to leak out of the laboratory into the wider world. And that raises a huge number of questions. So it's a very sort of rich, we hope, a very thought-provoking exhibition.
And there's going to be one star of the show, which I understand hasn't been built yet. Tell me about him.
What we wanted to do, we wanted to rebuild Eric, who was a robot built in 1928 by a chap called W.H. Richards. Now, Eric was the first robot built in the UK. He was amongst a handful of the very earliest robots in the modern sense of being these big, sort of broad-shouldered tin men. But what happened with Eric was that he was a touring robot, so he travelled around the world. He was a showman. And we thought, well, if we're going to build this exhibition and we're going to tour it internationally, around the world, wouldn't it be amazing if we rebuilt Eric? And anyway, took a simulacrum of him and took him to some of the venues that he might have been at originally back in the 1920s and 1930s.
Do you have a favourite out of all the robots that you're bringing together for this exhibition?
My favourite piece is an automaton lathe, which was built circa 1740, which the museum acquired in the late 19th century, but it's never been put back together. I think it's never been displayed in its entirety. It was a wonderful thing. It replicated the work of a human turner. It's the biggest, blingiest thing I've got in my entire engineering collection. It's wonderful. It's 2.5 metres tall, and it's covered in gold leaf. It's the most exceptional thing. But we'd never done anything with it, and it's in 600 bits. And so what I said was that actually it's got to go back together. If we're going to use it in any exhibition, it's got to be in this one, otherwise why have we got the thing? And so we've got conservators lovingly poring over this thing and working out how it goes. It's a massive 2.5 metre tall jigsaw. A very complicated jigsaw, and so that's, in a way, that's my favourite thing, because it's big and bling, and it just looks amazing.
The Science Museum's Ben Russell, and although his robots exhibition won't be opening until February 2017, you can still get involved in their Kickstarter campaign to rebuild Eric, the first British robot, at sciencemuseum.org.uk/Eric.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.